Genesis chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1, and I'm going to read all the way to verse 25, but this is very familiar verses, so they flow and go very smoothly, but don't fall asleep on them. They're very helpful to us. This is God's Word. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth," and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth," and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that had life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." And God created great whales, every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth." And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Let's stop reading there and pray together. Father, we're thankful for your word and this time we have together in it today. As for your blessing right now upon this time. Help us to have the hearts that we should have as Christians in the world that we live in now, given our current social and cultural and political climate. We love you. We thank you for your goodness to us. And we pray your blessing upon this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today is National Sanctity of Human Life Day. And this is why I read to you from Genesis chapter 1, the beginning of life, so to speak, in our world. In January 13th, 1984, President Ronald Reagan designated January the 22nd, 1984, as the first National Sanctity of Human Life Day. He chose this date to coincide with the 11th anniversary of Roe v. Wade that legalized abortions in the United States, and Doe v. Bolton, which made abortion legal throughout all 9 months of pregnancy, if the mother's health was in jeopardy, which includes emotional stress of pregnancy, and it opened the door for this law to be upheld in all 50 states. Reagan issued the proclamation annually thereafter, designating Sanctity of Human Life Day to be the third Sunday in January, which represents the closest Sunday to the original January 22nd date. His successor, George H.W. Bush, continued the annual proclamation throughout his presidency. Bush's successor, Bill Clinton, discontinued the practice throughout his 8 years in office, and Bush's son and Clinton's successor, George W. Bush, resumed the proclamation and did so every year that he served. The pro-life community has continued to set this day aside each year since its inception to pray for an end to abortion. And I want to talk to you today with that being in mind and this being the special day. And I don't know how we get our dates. I was looking at the calendar and I thought, well, it should be next week, but it should be this week. But I'm told that it's today, so it's today. But I want to talk to you today about finding life valuable. I'll say a couple of things just for introduction. One, I just stick to the Word for the most part. And then if you get mad at me, you can and get mad at the Bible. I don't usually get into political things. I don't get into social things. It's just not something that I do. But from the first day I was here, I told you all, I told the board, and I've done it ever since. There are two things that I will make a big deal out of that aren't that aren't specifically things that we'll come across on a regular basis in Scripture. One is abortion. I think babies are very special from the moment they're conceived, and whatever people's political agendas are and thinkings is on that is irrelevant to me. I care if you're R or D or I or whatever you are, I mean, these are babies. And a few years ago, it's been about 2 or 3 years ago now, when Miss Shanae miscarried, and we weren't very far along. I mean, we were just 15 weeks or so, and this little bitty baby had to be born nevertheless. And I mean, you know, just like a little alien. That's what we call it, our little alien. But even then, it reaffirmed in me, this is life. This is a God-given life. And so for the cause of abortion, you just have to get mad at me if you want to get mad at me. But I have fairly thick skin, you know. Get on me about the Georgia Bulldogs and I'll cry, but you get on me about abortion and I'll fight. Also, creation. I'm a firm believer in creation. Young earth, 6 literal days of creation. God created all, rested on the 7th. It's where I stand. I was trained that way. I was raised that way. You know, I try to get you guys out of your orange shirts, but you were raised that way. You're not going to do it. I was raised young earth. That's just where I'm going to be. But I've said that from the get-go. That's where I'm going to be, and you'll hear me preach it that way. But today I want to talk to you about the value of life. My pastor, Brother Willard Thomas, some of you got to meet him, very special to me. He penned an appropriate poem for such a day as this. This is known only to God by Brother Willard Thomas. In Arlington, Virginia, on top of a hill, lie the unknown soldiers, cold and still. In battle, the ultimate sacrifice was made. Forever they're remembered as sons of the brave. Millions pass by to view their tomb, forever enshrined in that hallowed room. Beside the Potomac, neath this sacred sod, lie the unknown soldiers known only to God. I thought there are other humans not known on this earth, the innocent babies who die before birth. Known only to God, known only to God, millions of babies known only to God. No one ever cries or visits their grave, as silently they die, wave after wave. No changing of the guard to honor their tomb, no pinks and blues for their nursery room. Hushed is their tiny cooing voice, all in the name of a woman's choice. Every day they pass under the tender shepherd's rod. All those precious babies are not only to God. To take part and commemorate this day, I want to speak to you today about the value of life. And I hope that we would leave here today finding life valuable at all stages, young and old, rich or poor, whatever it may be, finding life valuable. And parents, I do my best to have kid-friendly sermons, and I know abortion's one of those topics where you have to answer, well, what does that mean? Same thing for when you preach about the virgin birth at Christmas time, you have to explain what that means. And I'm sorry for that, because I've got children of my own, and if you're a parent with children here, you need me to talk to them after this, I'd be happy to. Let's begin first in Genesis 1:1 with the idea that life is valuable to God. I think that's a given, but I think it's a theme we should review. Life is valuable to God because it is God's creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You know, children on a regular basis, almost weekly, either bring me or show me or lay on my desk their scribbles on paper. And you know, it's very useless to most people. It's just scribbles on paper. But to these children, it is so valuable to them because it is their creation. They made this, you know. And a lot of times I have to say, well, who is that? Well, that's you. You know, oh, no, is this what I look like to you? What does that say? Well, that says I love you. You know, that's touching. That's special. This is their creation, and it looks like gibberish. It looks like scribbles. It may not look like what youth should think that it looks like, but to them it means something. Life is valuable to God because this is His. This is His creation. He made it. He intended it to be this way. God created all that we see around us. It's all very valuable to Him. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void. God didn't just leave the earth here in this state because it was valuable to him. He did give it form and he did fill it with life. But even without form and even while void, the earth was still valuable to God because it was his creation. Verse 5, and God called the light day and the darkness. He called night light and darkness. They are the earliest stages of development for God's creation. Even before being revealed to the heavens, even before being revealed to the animals, even before being revealed to man, God gave light and darkness their names. They are valuable to him. We give names to things that are special or important. Well, we named Old Blue, Old Blue. Some of you know about Old Blue. Some of you don't know about Old Blue. That's okay. It's one of those inside sentimental things, right? Human life is valuable because we are created in God's image. Look at verse 26 with me. We stopped reading there, but I want you to pick up in verse 26 of chapter 1. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. The beginning of verse number 26 there, also in verse number 27, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Human life is valuable to God because, like all the other lives, it is his creation. Human life, above all others, though, is valuable to God. I'm glad that we humans find life and earth valuable and try to fulfill our biblical commands to preserve it. I like blue skies. And I like regulations that keep me from turning the blue skies to smog. Whatever your thinking is on that, politically, I still like blue skies and fresh air. Amen? I mean, I want to drive my gas guzzler too, but I like blue skies. I remember as a child, we lived near Atlanta, and every morning on the news, they'd give a smog alert. Did they used to do this in Nashville? Is this a thing? So in Atlanta, you knew, depending on what the percentage of that was, you knew if you could go to town or not that day. So unless you worked, if you worked there, you just had to. People would wear little masks and stuff. But it was bad. Certain days you'd look toward Atlanta and you just kind of see this orange haze, And I used to think that's kind of like Oz, I'd seen The Wizard of Oz, and if I can get there to this orange haze. But it wasn't. It was smog. And then the Olympics came, 1996. And boy, they cleaned up town. And from now, it's blue skies now. You go down there and it's a different world for that. I talked to a lady from China. I was sitting at Vanderbilt Hospital one day, and she was a student there, and we were talking and waiting for something, and I said, oh, you're from China. Were you there when the Olympics came? And she said, no, I was over here. But she said, I was there before. Once they announced it, we had to start really getting the city ready for this. And she said, one of the things they did was they instantly shut off all the factories that were polluting, and nobody could drive their cars. Everybody had to walk. And she said, in just a few months, our air cleared up. And I said, oh, that's good. I said, I guess that's one good thing that the Olympics brought. And she said, no, the day after it was over, they turned it all back on and the smog came back. I said, well, okay. But I like blue skies. I like green grass and trees, too. And I'm glad there are rules that keep us from concreting them over. Amen. National parks, state parks, these things are a blessing. And if you've ever been in a concrete jungle, you'd rather be out here where we are, where there's green grass and blue, crystal clear rivers and fresh air and all the rest. I like clean water to swim in. Now, depending on who I ask around here, they tell me whether or not I should get in the Harpeth in the Cumberland. went to the restaurant the other day, and I said, I'll just take some ice water. And they came back and said, here's your Cumberland cocktail. And I said, I don't know if I want that or not, now that you put it in that respect. But it's fairly clean, and I appreciate clean water to swim in. And I'll be honest, I even like whales. I guess that makes me a save the whales kind of guy. I don't know that I am. If we need them for something, then I'm for taking them and using them however we need to. But I like the whales. What would Prudential do if we didn't have whales swimming in the seas? You know, we couldn't have commercials, I guess. But even more, I have an internal moral desire to defend and protect human life. I have a biblical command to find life valuable because my Creator says it's valuable. Human life is valuable because we are created in His image. Let me give you four quick things about that. In God's image, we have dignity. No one has the right to degrade or destroy human life. Not for any reason. Not just to be mean. Not to be racist. Not to bring yourself up and put them down. Not to get a political, social, financial gain. Not to make your life more convenient. No one has the right to degrade or destroy human life. No, not even one's own life. Especially not that of another. This principle must be applied in the areas of social justice, race relations, sexual ethics, abortion, euthanasia, and a whole host of other topics. In God's image, we have dignity. In God's image, we also have dominion. We are to rule over the other created beings. Verse 26. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. And all the bass fishermen say, Amen. Some days you don't feel like you have dominion over the fish, though, do you? They have dominion over you. And over the fowl of the air. And the duck hunters say, Amen. And over the cattle. And the steak eaters say, Amen. And over all the earth. And over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. We're to subdue the earth. Verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. When you get to considering the cultural or the social or the political agendas that would say that abortion is okay, that would say that homosexuality is okay, you have to go back to God's first command in Scripture, which was to be fruitful and multiply. And you can't do that in either of those situations. It goes directly in opposition to God's initial command. We're to subdue the earth. Man has been given dominion over both the plants and the animals. Chapter 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Took my first stake in that this past spring. My wife said, I said, what do you want for Mother's Day? And she said, I want a small garden. Said, okay. So I made her a really, I don't think she meant for it to be this small, but it was a really, really small garden. I think we could fit 10 plants total in this garden. But I thought, you know what, if we keep that weeded, we'll add more next year. I didn't do very good. If I had been Adam here in verse number 15, God would have kicked me out, not for my sinfulness. He would have kicked me out because I wasn't doing a good job at keeping the garden. Verse number 20, the animals. And God gave names, or and Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. So we've been given dominion over the plants, over the animals. Human beings have the God-given authority to, now I love nature, but we have the God-given authority to chop down trees so that we can build buildings, so that we can stay warm and alive. We've been given the God-given authority to domesticate animals. There we go. That's a hard word to get out, isn't it? To eat meat. I'm saying you have to eat meat. In fact, you could probably find a doctor that would say if you could avoid some more of that meat, you'd be a little healthier. But you know, pass me a hot dog. Human beings have the responsibility to do those things responsibly. I'm all for, you know, let's raise up some cows and let's shoot some cows and let's eat them cows. If you want to eat deer, that's good because that's more cows for me. So. I'm for deer hunting too. I'm all about it. But I'm not for just randomly going out there and just mowing them down. That's why I had to get out of deer hunting. I didn't understand the idea of trophy hunting. The guy gave me this gun, and he said, shoot, sit up in this deer stand. You see deer come by, you shoot it. And I said, okay. Well, I saw 12 deer come by. It was 15. I didn't know any better. So it was pow, 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 pow. And he said, you were supposed to pick one. I said, oh, I didn't know. He told me I could. He said, gave me this license, and he said, you got tags for 7 deer here. You can kill up to 7 deer. That meant the whole deer season. Well, being, you know, this made sense. Less time in the woods. I get them all killed today, and then I can go play my Xbox. But it didn't work out that way. But I think we have the dominion. We have the God-given authority to take and to enjoy these things. But we all ought to do it responsibly. When I was a boy, we'd go in the trees, or go in the woods to the trees, and with an axe. I didn't have a real axe. I had a hatchet. And we'd cut a tree down just to prove we could. Right? You know. You're 12 years old and you have a hatchet. You and your buddies decide you're just going to... I'm getting some nods from some of the men here. I don't know what it is about us boys. That's just how we were. And we'd cut and we'd cut and we'd cut and we'd sweat and we'd chop and we'd chop and we'd sweat and we'd take... Here, give me that, you know. And before you know it, there comes this tree. And it, all the while, it seemed like it was this big around. And, it, you know, you get it down, it was that big around. And then you're going to make this fort and you work all afternoon on this fort. And by tomorrow, you've forgotten it. You go do something else and that tree dies. And to no end, really. This is not a good thing. But I sure like to use paper. And I'm glad we're able to sit on wooden pews this morning in a wooden stick-framed building here, and our wooden stick-framed houses, and on it goes. I think there's a balance in these things. But we definitely have dominion. In God's image, we have dignity, we have dominion. We have distinction. Chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Human life is distinct here from all other creation because we have a living soul. And then in God's image, we have a duty. First thing that God did after creating Adam and Eve was to bless them, and he gave them a command. Verse number 28 of chapter number 1, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. The relationship between God and man was not one of equals. Man is dependent upon God for blessings of life and sustenance. Man is accountable to God in the areas of service and obedience to these things that God has told him here. Further, God's command concerning the tree. Look at verse 16 and 17 of chapter number 2. These commands make it clear that man was and is capable of receiving and understanding moral instruction and is responsible for his obedience, even initially. Verse 16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So even from the beginning, we have a shared responsibility. We have a command from God of what to do, what not to do. We are held to a level of obeying and keeping God's command. And one of the biggest things in all of this dealt with human life. So human life. Human life above all other life is valuable to God. So first, I say to you, life is valuable to God. Secondly, I want to say to you that life is valuable at any stage. Maybe I should say life is valuable at every stage. The unborn are valuable. David penned in Psalm 139, one of the most familiar verses and used a lot on days like today. Psalm 139, verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Each unborn child is God's possession. Possess my reins, to the Hebrew, is a statement of divine creation of a living soul. David is acknowledging in his understanding, even all the way back then, that God, even while he was inside of his mother, he was special, he was important, he was a life to God. Psalm 139, 14 and 15, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Verse 16 says, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. Now he's talking about all this still in his mother's womb. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. David writes here that even before he was completely formed, God could see him. God could see him, and God knew what his life would be. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed thee In the belly I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. This is what Jeremiah is told here. The unborn are valuable to God. Find life valuable. I would continue by saying the unsaved are valuable to God. Now you can apply that to a lot of different areas. I don't think I even need to preach to you that the saved are valuable to God, because here we sit, God's folks. We understand that we're valuable, but the unsaved. Let's categorize that a little bit. The Muslims. These are valuable lives to God. The refugees, these are valuable lives to God. Now, I'm just like you. Don't move them in my backyard. No amens there. Am I the only one who's thinking that? Okay, thank you. But they're valuable lives nevertheless. If we were in 1960 having this day, I don't know what side of that I'd have been on, but some of you lived through that, and I'm clueless and young and don't know, but I would say to you today, if it was then, we would say as a white church of black people are important to God. I could say to you today, I think, in the world we live in, Mexicans are important to God, especially the unsaved ones. God would intend for them to be saved. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The unsaved are valuable. Our focus today is the sanctity of human life and the value of the lives of unborn children, but God values life at any stage, young or old. We love Brother Ken Avery here, who works in the West Tennessee prisons. One of the most convicting things that he says when you hear him preach about these prisons is that he said, I work with these guys, they get saved, God changes their life in jail, they're discipled, they come out, and they are some of the most mature Christians you know, but no church wants them because they've been in prison. Life is valuable to God at any stage. And I know we're to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, but maybe we take that a little too far. The unborn, the middle-aged, those approaching eternity, they're all important to God. He values the lives of the unsaved so very much. He sent His Son Jesus to give them eternal life. That's just how much He values their lives. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So I commend you today to find life valuable, or I challenge you today. If you're here today and maybe you feel worthless, maybe you feel useless, find life valuable. You may be here today and you've had an abortion. This is not an accusation against you or a judgment towards you. This is a challenge going forward to find life valuable. We confess our sin. God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. And He didn't put any stipulations on that. Not murder, not suicide, not any other thing. There is nothing that God cannot save. The only thing that God can't work with is a heart that doesn't want to be worked with. Find life valuable. God loves you. He cares for you. You can become a Christian and fulfill the plan that God has for you in His life if you're here today and you're unsaved. For those of you here today who are Christians, find life valuable. Care that unborn babies are being murdered and purpose with that. Pray for God's forgiveness on our nation. Pray for God's intervention with our leaders. Pledge, hey, I'm not going to support it going forward, no matter what the other issues are. People always say, how are you voting, preacher? I'm voting pro-life. You want to know who I'm voting for? That's who I'm voting for. The one that's the most pro-life, whether I think they're going to win or lose, I do not care. They're the one that's going to get my vote. And this past time, I was unsure of this going into it. And then I heard I can't remember the man's name now. This is why you don't get into politics in the pulpit. Who's the new vice president? Pence. Oh, I heard Mike Pence talk about his stance on life. And I said, I don't care who he's running with. I don't care who they're running for. I'm voting for Mike Pence. So I went down, I wrote in Mike Pence for president. No, I didn't. Wrote in Jesus. No king but Jesus. No, but this is important to me. Pledge that you're not going to support murder. And then purpose to stand against it. There are things that you can do. There are things that you can do in society. There are things that you can do in your home. There are things that you can do through educating yourself as you purpose to stand against it. Care that unsaved humans, in addition to the unborn, are dying, and they're going to spend eternity in hell. God sent His Son, and Jesus gave His life for sinners. So give of yourself to show others the way. God cares about the homeless under the bridges. God cares about the drug addicts. God cares about those that you and I say, well, they're hopeless, they're helpless, I've tried, there's nothing else that I could do. God cares about them. So what should I do? Well, if nothing else, if you ever get that time where you just throw up your hands, what am I going to do? Pray for them.